So we want to welcome to the program Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington's correspondent. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning, John.
And David Frum, former speechwriter for President George W. Bush and the man behind FrumForum.com, where you can get a look at his political analysis online. David Frum, good morning.
Good morning.
So the president had a news conference yesterday and attempted to settle some questions. Here's one he tried to settle.
My job is to get this fixed. And in case anybody wonders, in any of your reporting, in case you're wondering who's responsible, I take responsibility. It is my job to make sure that everything is done to shut this down.
You can hear the camera clicks there in the background. Todd Zwillick, you were at the news conference yesterday. What was the sort of body language, the sense of defensiveness on the part of what really is the president's first real crisis that he didn't inherit from the previous administration?
The body language, John, was one of gravity, seriousness, no smiles, no jokes, no witty banter with the press in this press conference. This was all about projecting a sense of gravity of the situation and also command and control. That clip you just played, you know, in case any of you are wondering who's responsible, I take responsibility, we're in control. You know, I counted 10 or 11 times on that theme, the president repeating, the White House is in charge, we are in charge, I'm in charge, BP's not in charge, BP takes their orders from us. I think there's a real, you mentioned the Katrina question before, and while this isn't Katrina and it's a different situation, the White House is clearly sensitive to, I think, the aftermath. Nobody thinks the White House caused this leak, and everybody knows it's hard to stop the leak. But what hurt the Bush White House in Katrina was the aftermath. Where is the government?
Right.
Where's the food? Where's the clothing? Where's the aid? And I think they're really trying to avoid any sense of disarray and not helping here. Yes, we're in control.
Yeah, the question of the Katrina comparison was actually directly asked, and we're going to get to that in a moment. But David Frum, the president says, I'm responsible. It is the president's job to make sure everything is done to shut this down. In your experience, is that actually realistic to just sort of step in and take responsibility for someone that he didn't really cause this?
Well, I noticed that he said all of those things on the day that it looked like British Petroleum's engineers have solved the problem. He didn't say it a week ago. He didn't say it 3 days ago. And it's not a coincidence that one of the great tricks of politics is you show up when the job is done and then take full responsibility, i.e., in this case, credit. It's the tragedy of the modern presidency. You are held to account by the public for all kinds of things that not only can the government not control, but that the president within the government, and the president's just a small part of the government, can't control. The flip side of that, of course, and we saw that yesterday, is you unattractively, just as you get a lot of blame for things you have no credit responsibility for, you take credit for a lot of things you had no responsibility for.
And, of course, yesterday it may have felt as though the engineers had solved the problem. There's still more problem this morning, so I suspect the president is happy that he didn't say mission accomplished or something like that yesterday. Listen to the president responding to the Katrina question, David Frum.
I'll leave it to you guys to make those comparisons and make judgments on it, because what I'm spending my time thinking about is how do we solve the problem. And when the problem is solved and people look back and do an assessment of all the various decisions that were made, I think people can make a historical judgment. And I'm confident that people are going to look back and say that this administration was on top of what was an unprecedented crisis.
So you listen to that, David Frum, and also listen to this little clip as well, because I want to ask you a pretty cynical question in just a second. Here's the president saying he made a mistake.
Where I was wrong was in my belief that the oil companies had their act together when it came to worst-case scenarios.
Do you hear anything in there, David Frum, that might be grist for Republican or even Democratic campaign commercials in the fall elections?
No, he's very careful not to do that. One of the things that is very impressive about Barack Obama's performance is he almost never makes the mistake of producing something that can be used against him in that way. I mean, listen to the I was wrong. I mean, yes, you were wrong. So there's something that previous presidents didn't do. What were you wrong about? Well, I was wrong about thinking that you guys weren't dummies.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in a deeper sense, that it's an assumption of saying I was wrong in order to put blame again on somebody else, which is what politicians always try to do. On the first, I mean, that yes, it's never a good idea. The press always plays this game. It's never a good idea to accept their invitation to evaluate your own performance. You either look boastful or you give them a negative clip that they can use. And he learned that mistake when he gave his year-end interviews and was asked how to you assess your first year, and he gave himself a B+. He thought he was being modest, but people either believe, oh, B+, that's not very good, or he sounded boastful in the middle of a terrible recession.
And, you know, presidents, particularly ones that come in at a moment of real change, sometimes have a problem with leadership, that they learn a lesson really, really early. I mean, Abraham Lincoln had this problem, right?
Well, Abraham Lincoln did. I mean, all of those presidents operated beforehand in a much slower media environment. And the comparison I often give in this respect is, look, I mean, George Bush got all kinds of grief from the left-wing filmmaker Michael Moore and many others for taking 9 minutes to think after he got news of the second attack on the World Trade Center. Franklin Delano Roosevelt got word of the attack at Pearl Harbor on noon on Sunday of December 7th, 41, and he didn't talk to Congress until the next day. He had 24 hours. And Abraham Lincoln issued his first proclamation on the crisis after the firing at Fort Sumter weeks after the crisis. We just didn't expect in a pre-instant media world, instant responses gave you a little bit of time to think that presidents nowadays tend not to have.
All right, David Frum, a former speechwriter for President George W. Bush and also the man behind FrumForum.com for political analysis. Go online and check out FrumForum.com. Todd, before we go, policy announcements yesterday?
Oh, there were several, John. You've already heard that the president's going to suspend drilling projects in the Arctic. They are also suspending new lease sales in the Gulf off of the east coast of Virginia, suspending all new deep water wells in the Gulf for the time being, and suspension of 33 deep water wells indefinitely in the Gulf, in addition to a commission to find out just what went wrong.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. You have questions about this. We know that. You can call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Post a comment at thetakeaway.org. And you can also text to us, be a part of all of the conversations. Text TAKE to 69866. We'll tell you how you can submit your question. We're actually going to be answering them later on this morning and on the website.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.